band, if you please. You're going through the middle circle. And again, you've got many, many moving space bodies at about the same ratio of density, mass to space, see? And then you start going into the final circle, the inner core, yeah. And when they speak of the word density, they're speaking in terms of space bodies in space. So that you go through a belt where there are many more. Then you go through an interval where there are none. And you go through another belt where there are many more. And then another interval where there are none. And they're in motion. And there's so darn many of these things that no, there's no light to each, too. Now, how much Havona Mady knew of what was going on in the superuniverses, I don't know. But I don't believe they could have gotten it by direct line observation. Because this outer belt of dark bodies would screen it. And this outer belt is impervious to light. It's enough to completely enshroud Havona. Now you can say, well, why couldn't a primary supernatum have gone up high enough at right angles to Havona to look over? Well, I know they do. I'm sure that that's how supernatum and supernatum traverse.
They don't go through?
I don't think they go through. I think they go over.
Heaven to bed.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah. I think you got a leapfrog that barrier. And I think that's why I think that's a difficult assignment. They tell us, for example, Clyde, a paraffin can't make it. Her jets aren't big enough. A paraffin herself would have to be transported from Uversa, the capital of Orvandon, to the pilot world of the outer Havona circuit. She hasn't got a gas tank big enough to make that run. Will it take a transport Saturnism or a transport Saturnism to make? That's a heck of a run. I believe they've got to go over this barrier, or under it.
Well, I thought, and this is a decision, that they could undo with their way through.
I think...
Now, those are...
What's a man?
Now, this is me. They were built for a thing, and they're seeing all the 7 universities quickly moving just like this.
Yeah.
50,000 power and weight rise. But... And an eon of light years speed.
Yeah.
It's in my idea that they could move their way down and around and through and sinuously pass through there and obviously never touch a globe above them. I don't see the reason why they couldn't, but why couldn't they fly with their acute
I think here's one you can slice either way.
Well, we didn't have the navigator. It has superb navigation. And it isn't a solid physical mass. It is just, there are just so many of them and so interspersed in that belt that light is not permitted. But it doesn't say they're in juxtaposition to the extent that
well, look. The intervening space which exists between these two circuits of dark gravity bodies is unique. This zone is characterized by enormous wave movements of an up-down nature and is permeated by tremendous energy activities of an unknown order. I have a feeling that this is a place to be avoided.
Do you think that this flies, in other words, they are paying an altitude,
mm-hmm.
and then just go in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got no argument, you know, the just never said it. No way in which
they're looking at nothing.
What?
Then they, is that helping them?
That's, I think, on peripheral paradise. I favored that concept because of this energy activity. I have a feeling that they'd be caught in a maelstrom.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's
peripheral
paradise,
it's directly. Well, we're out of peripheral Havona right now.
Yeah, I know, but it's directly.
In other words, if you were, if we were going to L.A., would you follow us 17 miles and stay in L.A. and go over
the mountain? Yeah. I think someday we'll get aboard a transport to kind of thing. When you break this, and this is a real 707 jet. With about 8 pods on it. and plenty of fuel in the hallway. And she'll take off, and I think she'll sleep drive this all day. And we'll land on the pilot world and be out of here on the surface. Now, coming into paradise, you've got a problem because you've got to leave space to get to paradise. And just how they do that, I don't know. Well, I maybe they get an assist from some landing field on peripheral paradise. I think they get an assist from peripheral paradise. Maybe. Something like that.
What we're doing now is we're splitting some hairs.
And you can split them about as thin as you want to split them. It's not too important which way these things operate. It's just kind of fun to kick them around. You know that that's quite a day, though, we're talking about how we get there. So let's consider what it must be like to stand on the inertia. You took your R.O.s, you've written your Ph.D. thesis. In the University of Tiny State. We got a commencement exercise. I mean, it's rather a solemn occasion. You're graduating from Time and Space from the evolutionary school. And ahead of you lies the University of Eternity, where you're going to be a freshman all over again. And what do you suppose it feels like to... stand there and to sit there or whatever you do. You won't have bottom to sit on. The last time, we're third state spirits, I think, aren't we, but then? True spirits. and to sit and realize that everything you've known to date is time, space, evolutionary, we speculated on how old Orvantan is. I've come up with a crude estimate of 40,000 trillions of years. That's better than a while. out there, I can support it. Whether 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, I mean, who cares? It's an awful big number. And you realize that where you're going has no beginning. Yeah. Everything you've seen so far has a comfortable beginning. You can say, well now, how old is your first day? And I can tell you. It's a knowable number. It's a big number. Awfully big number, but it's a number. You can write it on a blackboard. But where you're going, that's no beginning. It's an eternal university. And you shake hands with your guardians, your thoracic guardians. They come with you all this distance. They may or may not be going to rejoin you on the pilot world of the outer circuit. Some do. Some go on to Spiritington. Spiritington, I mean. Near regions of paradise. Some go through the Havana circuit with you. And then the time comes to take off. And as you know, you go to sleep during these times of transit. What are you going to think about as you drift off into this transit sleep, knowing that when you wake up, you will have either gone through or over?
Yes.
And when you wake up, it'll be on the pilot world of the outer Havana circuit. And you've started an entirely new adventure.
It's an idea, really something you think about. Before you read the year after that, you expect to be in this world.
Yes, I
will. Pop down the road.
Oh, yes. Oh,
why would it be so nice?
Yeah, I won't. You move alone. You may move with friends, or you may not. But you're on your own.
What do you expect to?
Companion.
Companion.
Graduate guide.
Yeah.
I have on a servable. And the supernatural of assignment on that subject. All right, let's go. There's a fellow by the name of Pete. And Pete was 42 years of age when he was tragically killed in an automobile accident. Pete was no great shape, but he was a pretty sincere guy. And everything was happy to answer, but he had a neighbor that was a good Eurasian and had intended to give Pete this book, but he put it off. And a week before he made up his mind to give Pete the book, Pete passed out on the road. Death was instantaneous, and Pete had qualified to have a personal guardian. This is not an impossible test. This is really doing a pretty good job, but it's not unique. I don't think a person would be stupid to hope to do this. Pete had always been interested in God, and he tried to do good in the world, and he worked hard at it without talking much about it. Pete was not reputed to be a highly religious man, because most of this was inside of Pete. But no one was ever turned away by Pete. He always helped Pete. Pete was like, you know, the story of the fourth wise man, who never made it to Bethlehem because he was stopping along the way to help people. Three days after Pete died, they stood by in the resurrection hall on the First Mansion level. Pete's seraphic guardians were there. They had custody of his soul. Previous to this, they had drawn out of quartermaster stores on the First Mansion world one GI standard body, sodium chloride-like pattern, in other words, a form, a body for Pete to live in, a body which was just technically removed by a short step from a material body. It was almost material, the lowest form of Marantia existed. If matter were water and Marantia and spirit were oil, then Marantia is an emulsion of oil and water. Are you with me? In this particular instance, 569 parts of water to one part of oil. We're told that there are 570 steps in the Marantia life. If the floor is arid system material, and if the ceiling is the first stage of true spirit existence, then there are 570 tiny steps. No one of them very large. And in each step, think of the material being decreased by 1 degree, the spiritual being increased by 1 degree. And oil and water will mix in the presence of soap. You can emulsify them. I visualize this resurrection chamber very like a morgue. I can't help it. I see a marble slab. You know, I'm a very simple soul in many ways. I make very childlike pictures of this in order to make it real to me. And I don't worry about distorting things one bit. I know I'm symbolizing. And I see this body lying out there. They're swabbing it off because it's been kept in some preservative solution. I see the seraphim put Pete's soul in that body. I see the life carrier of the biological technician touch that body. Now, the life carrier does not give life. It comes from God. But the life carrier is God's deputy who transmits life in these instances. When the life carrier touches that body is alive. The soul is sleeping in that living but dormant body. I see a circuit technician loop, a circuit of Marantia mind in there. I see Pete's thought adjuster, who has been to the center of all things and has returned. They don't require time to travel. They just get there. The thought adjuster takes up his position in the soul of Pete. And these papers explain everything beautifully except one little point. Where was Pete's personality? The authors of these papers cheerfully admit they don't know. Except that at that point, Pete's personality reaches out and seizes this mind circuit. And that is the return of consciousness. And Pete sits up, and on this marble slab, and for all the world, I was expecting to say, look out, we're going to crash. Yeah. There will be standing by an archangel who will, in take the thumbprint of Pete's personality and compare it with the record from this world to certify that this is the same being. But the archangel had no custody of Pete's personality, as the seraphim did have custody of Pete's soul. No one knows where the personality has been during those 3 days. No one knows how it shows up at the right time. That they can identify. So Pete gets off the slab and shakes himself and in English says, where am I? See, if his buddy had only given him the answer but a little earlier, he wouldn't have been quite so ignorant when he waked up. He must be blue book by 1 week. They tell Pete what's happened. Probably a Marantia companion is there. That's a created being.
Marantia.
Yes. Marantia is this mix of oil and water, matter and spirit. And some beings are created as Marantia beings directly. And they work as Marantia beings. They are Marantia because they're dealing with Marantia, like Pete. These Marantia companions are linguists. And probably there are many who speak English up there when they're assigned to Urantia. Or perhaps it's an older Urantia who greets Pete, an English-speaking Urantia. Well, it would have to be English unless Pete speaks French. Pete's an English speaker. And they tell Pete who he is and where he is and all that. And Pete has a month off. 10 of their days, but their days are 3 times as long as ours. So it's the equivalent of a month. First thing you get the month's vacation to kind of figure out where you're at. And then, at the end of a month, they test Pete to see whether he has anything to learn on Mansion World 1. If not, they advanced him to mansion world number two. And these are literal worlds made out of the same elements that we have. Except they... Pardon? I was going to skip that out. I'm trying to tell an uncomplicated story. These worlds, for example, the planet itself is made of the same matter that we have here on our world, except it was built by order. It's not an evolutionary world. It's what they call an architectural world. It was fabricated by beings who can handle matter, physical controllers. They built it from scratch. It takes a long time to build a world like that, millions of years. But that is a world which has no earthquakes, no storms. Nothing is in disequilibrium. So put these series tests, and let's say, there's nothing for him on mansion world number two. So, they send him to mansion world number three. He's had two 30-day vacations so far, that's all he's sent to do. On mansion world number three, he doesn't pass all these tests. So they say, well, Pete, you can unpack your bag, so let's find your quarters. And probably the first assignment he has is to learn the language of our local system. Because once he learns that language, he can talk to everyone. And I imagine Pete tends to hang out with English-speaking survivors, at least until he learns the local language. Then Pete goes to school, and school up there is a mixture of thinking, feeling, and doing. Part of it's classroom. Part of it's the execution of projects. And pretty soon after he has begun to advance in his studies, he becomes an assistant teacher and then a teacher. I think many of our instructors will be our seniors who have gone ahead, and we in turn will work our way through the university of the universe by teaching our juniors who come along behind us. We ever remain teacher pupils all the way up the line. There are seven mansion worlds that people go through. And the purpose of these worlds is to equalize all the differentials of human culture. From Hottentot to, let's say, a Western European, and from Western European to people that come from much more advanced cultures than anything we've yet seen on this planet. Right. When Pete woke up in the very beginning, he woke up with all of his virtues and with all of his faults. His character was intact, for good or bad. The only difference that death made to Pete was this. He now speaks of it in the past tense. When I died, instead of when I will die. Pete has to complete his growth. If Pete died a procrastinator, he'll be resurrected a procrastinator. And he'll have to learn not to procrastinate. I think Pete experiences pain on the mansion world. For the same reason that a child who went to college and carried with him babyish traits would expect if he threw a tantrum or wet the bed. And I think many of us will wake up spiritual bedwetters, and we will be very ashamed of ourselves. To that extent, I think there's real pain up there, but it's the shame of immaturity in the presence of maturity. And incidentally, that's a big stimulus to get over our fault. When Pete has finished the seven mansion worlds, he has been de-animalized. The Bible speaks of it as the eradication of the mark of the beast. Pete is now a true human being. that have all these mammalian vestigial fish, and they're described as procrastination, equivocation, problem avoidance, unfairness, and ease. The papers identify these as the cardinal sins of mankind. Animal vestigial fish. When people graduate from these mansion worlds, and they're all in a cluster of worlds that collectively constitute the capital of our local system, there are 619 worlds feeding survivors into this same mansion world number one. We have 618 fellow inhabited spheres in our local system. Our world is number 606. We're one of the newest. But there are 619. There are 13 worlds that are junior to us. In other words, on which human life has appeared since it appeared on our world. When Pete graduates, he goes to the central world of this cluster, up here called Jerusalem. Pete has now attained citizenship on Jerusalem. Among the native beings of Jerusalem who were born and lived there are the Adams and the Eves. One such Adam and Eve volunteered to come down and serve on our planet. Adams and Eve are the natives of the capital of our local system. They're personally immortal, but they are sexual procreating beings.
The rest of this tape, and after this next segment, probably goes for another hour and a half, and it's all even worse than before, so I figured you probably wouldn't want the rest of it, just to save the time. So that's all for tape 5.